Now, the last three lessons that we've taught in Sunday school have concerned the person of the Antichrist. And today's lesson, we're going to concern ourselves with the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist. And we'll be meeting Matthew 24, 4 through 12, eventually in this lesson. Matthew 24, 4 through 12. Now, the person of the Antichrist, of course, we know, is yet to come. However, it is very obvious that the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well in our day. But of course, not only in our day, but the spirit of Antichrist is nothing new. For the apostles knew of it in their day. And that spirit of Antichrist, of course, was fathered by Satan. When as the angel Lucifer, and it's interesting that Lucifer is used one time in the scriptures, but that word Lucifer means morning star or brightness. And the spirit of Antichrist was fathered by this Satan, who challenged the throne of God, as we read in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. So he fell from being this angel Lucifer, the morning star, to being Satan, the definition of which means opponent or enemy. So in this fall from heavenly places, Satan became the premier enemy of God. He became a rebel against all that God stands for. And if you read that paragraph in Isaiah, you'll see that spirit of Antichrist that is pervading the world, directed by this character Satan, the enemy, the premier enemy of God. Now, we've said it before, and we're going to say it again, and that is, whatever God stands for, Satan intends to turn it upside down so it is opposite of what God commands. Now, as far as we are concerned, he began this process in the Garden of Eden when he took God's innocent creation. And I say innocent because they were innocent of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, we sometimes think they were innocent of evil, but they were also innocent of good. They had no idea of a contrast between good and evil. They were innocent of those things. And God intended for them to remain in that innocence. But Satan brought Adam and Eve to choose rebellion against a holy God. Now, the seed of rebellion that he planted in heaven, desired he also to plant wherever God worked. Now, God would say yes, and therefore Satan would say no. God would say up, and therefore Satan would say down. Satan took his cue from God that whatever God said, he would say the opposite or do the opposite. Now, due to the destructive choice of our parents in the garden, this spirit of rebellion, this spirit of Antichrist, has been implanted in every heart of every person born into this world, with the exception of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now think about that. Think about the spirit of Antichrist in your heart that was planted in your parents, Adam and Eve, and continues to this day in every heart of every child that is born. Now, the spirit of Antichrist has a name, and the name is sin. Every man, woman, and child has this spirit within, and within man, I'm talking about within man now, and by the force of man, there is nothing that can be done about it. You cannot do anything about your sin. You have no strength, you have no power, you have no force within you to do anything about your sin. As far as you're concerned, it's a hopeless situation. But God alone proved to us that in Him everything can be done about it. You know, with God, all things are possible. With you, it's hopeless. But with God, all things are possible. And He proved to us that in Him, everything can be done about it. For in Jesus Christ, He has shown us a man in whom this spirit does not dwell. Jesus Christ had not or has not the spirit of Antichrist, for He is without sin. And in order to be without this spirit of Antichrist, men, women, boys, and girls must come to be in Christ Jesus. You know, Christ Jesus is the fortress for the sinner. Christ Jesus is the bulwark for the sinner. And anyone who desires to be without the spirit of Antichrist must be in Christ Jesus. God's remedy is being in the body of Christ. Christ and He alone is our refuge from this spirit. You know, that's the good news, of course, of the gospel, isn't it? You know how good news the gospel is to the sinner. Think about that. Think about how hopeless it is not to be able to accomplish something. You know, you think about man's desire to accomplish anything. We can do it. We can do anything. Well, you can't do anything about your sin. So Jesus Christ comes along and says, I can do something about your sin. Believe on Me. Believe on Me. Be in Me, and I'll do something about your sin. Now, Satan has his heroes as far as his spirit is concerned. For through the centuries, men have stepped up to his call and promoted his spirit in their day. We've seen some of those characters. If you've had a long life, you've seen those characters come and go. But these were Satan's heroes. They've stepped up to the call and promoted his spirit in their day. You study the scriptures, and you will find this spirit of rebellion, this spirit of Antichrist, in men like Nimrod, Nebuchadnezzar, Antiochus Epiphanes, Herod, and others. And we have seen through the eyes of history the spirit of Antichrist working since the ascension of Christ at His first coming. Now that which we know will take place in the tribulation will not appear out of the blue, but will be the result of long and gradual development. The Antichrist will be a prepared person through long and continued development. Now, the only place that tells us of this effort on the part of powers beyond our sight is the Scriptures. And this sight we access by faith, for it will not be believed by those in the flesh.
How do you believe this? You believe it in the Spirit. You have to be born again to know about the Antichrist and to believe it. For Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." My folks, there's a battle going on. You know, remember that revelation of the hosts of heaven that was given to the servant of God. Look at the hosts of heaven. It was opened to them. And Daniel opens to us in his book the battle going on in the heavens. And we find this only in the Scriptures. Now, Satan is a diligent and hard worker, for this spirit of Antichrist has laid the groundwork. He has prepared the way, all toward the revelation of the man that we are told is the man of sin, the man of perdition. That word perdition means destruction. This has all been laying the groundwork. The man of sin glories in the nature of man, of which he was the creator. Now think about that. As you go and look around the world today, what is happening? People are glorying in their nature. It used to be that we would look at our nature as a fallen nature that is disappearing. People are glorying in their nature. Be yourself. Be what you are. Let it all flow from you. Glory in your nature. But God hates sin. So what does Satan do? He loves sin. And he intends to exalt what he loves. He will raise sin up to a level where sin is worshiped and righteousness is despised. You can see the seeds happening today. Where sin is worshiped and righteousness is despised. Now, this is the mission of the Antichrist. But you know, God pronounces woes upon such who will follow his dictates. In Isaiah 5, 20 and 21, it says this, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight." So we ought not to be surprised at what you see happening today, for it all fits within Satan's program and is just a prelude. Perhaps it's scene one of act one of what will take place in coming days. You know how often today we are seeing evil called good and good called evil. The other day, if you read the paper, you would see the Episcopal bishop in Pensacola who gives his priests opportunities to bless same-sex unions, simply saying, well, they're just blessings. He offers to the priests the allowance to offer the couple the opportunity to receive God's blessings on their relationships, he said. Now listen to that. God's blessings on the relationships. How can that be when can you have God's blessings on that which God condemns in his word? This is what a spiritual overseer says today. Or the Bishop of Alabama who refused to bless same-sex unions. Now you say, hooray for the Bishop of Alabama. But why did he say it? He said it because the issue was too divisive for Alabama. He said theology is an ongoing revelation. It's influenced by context. There are parts of the country that are more conservative and traditional, and there are parts of the country that are more liberal. And then he says, in Alabama, it would be too divisive with the Episcopal Church. We are deeply conflicted about this. Do you have to be conflicted about this? And then he says, I'd like to for us to work through and pray about it. You know, it doesn't take much to be a bishop in Alabama. You don't have to know the word. You just have to put on the clothing of a bishop and pronounce words like this. What's he there for? What's he getting paid for to say words like this? But you know, go ahead and pray about it, bishop. Raise your finger in the air and see which way the wind is blowing. That's what you see here. Which way is the wind blowing so I know what to say to the people? Well, you can be sure that Satan, your God, that spirit of Antichrist, which lies within you, he'll give you your answer and he'll give you a high five. Go ahead. Do what you're doing. For where is the word of God in all of this? Its authority disappears when the force of culture comes to the forefront. But you know, we ought not to lose hope as Christians, but we're to instead read Isaiah 59:19. For this verse bolsters hope. For God tells us what to look for when dark days come. For he reminds us when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That's hope. You know, God's the leader of the army. Now, I know that we live in the church age, and we believe the Bible teaches us that the church will not go through the tribulation. However, there is nothing in Scripture that tells us we will not go through dark times preceding the revelation of the Antichrist. Today, the enemy does seem to be coming in like a flood. Evil things are happening fast. The spirit of Antichrist is becoming more prominent the closer he gets in reality. But God, we're told, will raise up a standard against him. You know, I believe that while the church is here, we ought to be a part of that standard. The church ought to oppose anyone and everything that opposes God. We are to be the lookout that scans the horizon for anything of the spirit of Antichrist so that we can be a warning beacon to the people of God as the battle will surely grow in intensity. You know, our founding pastor over 40 years ago had that same mindset when he founded the Projector because that the byline of the Projector was to project the light of the Word of God on the issues of the day. Well, there's a lot of issues of the day to project that light on today. And we're thankful that we have that ministry. But there seems to be a general apathy toward this mission in churches. And churches have simply become little hideaways where people gather because they have always gathered and they're comfortable in their places. And I think this is nothing other than the spirit of Antichrist. Just stay in your glorious edifices and Satan will be happy. Haven't you heard that before? As long as you stay in your churches, the government's okay with you. But don't get out and broadcast and upset people. Just stay in your little buildings. Confine your beliefs to yourself, and all will be well, is the message of the Antichrist. You know, what a commentary on the situation of our country, where some of the only national vocal opposition to the upside-down perverted definitions of marriage comes from the owner of a fast food chain. What a commentary that is. Where are the preachers? Where are the evangelists? Where are those voices which are exercised in places of worship each Sunday to crowds of adoring believers, but they cannot extend to the marketplace outside the church? Oh, how confined we've become in this country, where we're so happy to speak to each other, but it takes the owner of a fast food chain to bring this to the fore. But you know, it's interesting that even those who do come in support of this man, they're not facing the issue, but they simply propound that this man has a right to his own opinion. That's the issue. Not the issue of the perversion of marriage and the biblical stand that this man takes. It's simply his right to have his own opinion. But you know, God's word is not an opinion. God didn't say, "This is my opinion." God's word is truth, and truth is not an opinion. So God calls us, he calls his people to oppose the Antichrist now, even though we cannot see him in person. But his spirit is fully involved in our time. It is our mission to oppose anything that opposes Jesus Christ now. Not someday, but this day. You know, we can get strength to oppose from the example of the reformer Martin Luther, who spent his life opposing the spirit of Antichrist. I have two excerpts from Martin Luther that are appropriate. He wrote this: "When I write against the Pope, I am not melancholy, for then I labor with my whole heart, and I write with such joy that Dr. Riesenpusch not long ago said to me," don't know who he is, "I marvel that you can be so merry." I replied to him, "Neither the devil, his lieutenant, the Antichrist of Rome, nor his shaven retinue can make me sad." He had a beard, and I don't know what that means, but something has to do with beards. "Can make me sad, for I know that they are Christ's enemies, and therefore I fight against them with all my heart." Boy, those are words of war. And another time he wrote, "Daily I feel how difficult it is to divest oneself of scruples long entertained. Oh, the pain it has cost me. Though with the scriptures before me to justify myself to myself for daring singly to set myself up against the Pope and hold him as Antichrist, what tribulations have I not suffered? How often have I not addressed to myself in bitterness of the spirit the argument of the papists? Art thou alone wise? They say. Are all others in error? Can they have been so many years deceived? What if thou deceivest thyself and draggest along with thee in thy error so many souls to everlasting damnation?" That was the message of the papists. "Thus I used to argue within myself, Martin Luther says, until Jesus Christ, with his own, his infallible word, fortified me and strengthened my soul against such arguments as a rock raised above the waves laughs their fury to scorn. A warrior for Christ, an example to us. So the spirit of Antichrist was alive and well throughout the ages as he is present now. Satan has his men who will move the spirit of Antichrist along through the ages, preparing minds and hearts for his man to come. He will come receiving adoration and worship, for he has been longed for through the ages by the natural man. Why the natural? The natural man loves sin. The natural man wants sin to be the order of the day. The natural man wants sin to be glorified. But Jesus warned those who are his own in Matthew 24, 4 through 12. I'll read it from the New American Standard Version. See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead you. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will deliver you in tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. So we're a forewarned people. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the mystery of iniquity was active in the world, and this mystery was preparing the way for the man, the Antichrist, and his work. You know, the Bible foretells of Christ's coming. Satan foretells of the Antichrist coming. But we are given a time on this earth to oppose this work. We are given a time of struggle against this spirit of Antichrist, which we are seeing enlarged in our time. The Apostle Paul instructed us, as the body of Christ, to have the militancy of a soldier against the evil of this spirit. We read of this in 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Are you gaining hardness? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, the spirit of this age rejects God and God's word and promotes with all the power at its hand the glorification of the creation instead of the Creator. The Bible warned of that. You know, institutions all over the world that were built for the glory of God have discarded any connection with that purpose and now live only to glorify man. Education's purpose is not to know about God, but it is only to promote man's welfare. The purpose of science is to enhance man's pride. You think about that. Can a scientist look into the microscope and see the tiniest and smallest of things? And then he says, oh, I've discovered that. And the pride drools. Instead of saying, look at the God who made that. The purpose of science is to enhance man's pride. The goal of America is simply the American dream, a materialistic dream, with little thought or understanding of the godly founding principles upon which this nation was founded. But you know, as long as God gives us breath, we are to oppose those who oppose Christ. We don't oppose them with weapons of war, but we oppose them with weapons of God's Spirit. We're to put on the whole armor of God. Notice the militancy of Paul's writings. It talks about the armor of God. Weapons, our weapons are truth, righteousness, and the gospel of peace, and are to be used with the shield of faith. We are to boldly proclaim that salvation is in none other than Jesus Christ. Boy, that'll get you in a fix, won't it? Oh, Jesus Christ is the only Savior of men. We are to be absolutely intolerant of anything that diminishes Jesus Christ as Lord of all. For he is preeminent, which means above all. There is to be no room for compromise to seek love and peace. Oh, those bishops were seeking love and peace as they compromised the word of God. But we are to oppose by faith, using the weapon of the Spirit of God, the sword of the Spirit of God, the wonderful word of God. You know, the world is rampant with humanism, which exalts men and promotes the cause of men and man alone. We are to oppose. We are to be in opposition. We are to be the enemy of the spirit of Antichrist. We are to be a militant people. We are not to sit on our lees, be casual Christians, letting the world go by. But we are to actively oppose the spirit that is rampant in our society today. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we would just be blind. We would just go along with the culture. We wouldn't know what's going on. But Lord, we have been warned. We have been told by the Word of God of what is to take place. We see things happening before us, Father, that are actually destroying the foundations upon which this country was built. We see that spirit of Antichrist coming. Help us to be an opposing people, Father, to this spirit. Help us to speak up and exalt and raise up the Lord Jesus Christ to bring glory and honor to Thee. Bless us now, Father, as we go to our service. May the Lord Jesus Christ be given preeminence in our midst. And may we worship Thee with all our heart and soul and mind and spirit. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.